The Bible says in Luke 11:23, if you want to turn there with me tonight, Luke 11:13. The Bible says in Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" The Bible says in Romans 6:23, as you heard the kids say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You heard tonight about how Jesus Christ is truly the gift, but I want you to think about what it's like when you give a gift. When we prepare gifts, and then compare that to how much more you think our Father prepared his gift, Christ. So I want you to think about, number one, I want you to think about the preparation of the gift of God. What do you do when you're prepared to give a gift? We just read the scripture that if we then know how to give good gifts to our children. How many of you enjoy giving gifts to your children? Do you? Okay, so none of you raised your hand. We don't want to be your children. That's good. How many of you enjoy giving gifts to your children? I do. I hope you do. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do you think God knows how to give good gifts unto us? The preparation of the gift of God. What do you do when you prepare a gift? You do what? You buy it, right? You got to go shopping for it. All the ladies enjoy the shopping, right? You enjoy. How many of you ladies enjoy shopping? You're lying if you don't raise your hand. You do. You enjoy shopping. I enjoy shopping. If it's something for me, I like it. I like enjoy shopping for food. I like food, so I eat a lot. But I like to shop. I enjoy things. But when you prepare, you think it through. You go out, you shop for it, you buy it. And then what do? Do you just throw it under the tree so they just know exactly what it is? What do? You wrap it, right? Good thing we're going over this before Christmas because y'all have no idea what to do. So we're getting prepared now. This is wonderful. Everybody's gifts are going to be wrapped when they weren't going to be before. So now we've got preparation. You wrap your gift. You think it through. You got to think about what your child wants, what they want. And when you prepare it, you wrap it, and you get it all prepared. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. That verse in and of itself, I say it a lot when I preach when I speak or I talk to anybody, because that verse has so gripped my life, because that tells me that God the Father in heaven, before he ever even said, "Let there be light," or even thought about, before he even started creation, he knew that his Son, Christ, would have to come and die on the cross for our soul's salvation. The Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Think about the preparation that went into that. Can you imagine such a love? That he still created me and you in this world. He loves us so greatly. Does he not? Amen, church? Amen. He loves us so greatly that even though he knew he'd have to send his Son, he still prepared the world. He still said, "Let there be light." He still created creation. He started it. And just like a mother waiting for a child, she knows the pain is coming. She knows, but she is willing. Why is she willing? Why? Because of the love for her child. Because of the love she has for her little child, she's willing to bear that pain, she's willing to go through that travail, and she's willing to have that pain in her life because of the love of the fellowship and just the desire to hold and to cuddle and to get to know and to hear, feel the breath and to feel the heartbeat of that child that she's going to be able to hold in her hands. Is that not a precious, precious sight? If we love our children so greatly, how much greater does God love me and you and love our children? It's innumerable, it's unsurmountable, and it's unattainable to know in our minds how great God's love is for us. Think about the preparation of God's love. And then think about the pronouncement of God's love. Go with me, if you would, real quickly to Isaiah 53:4-7. Isaiah chapter number 53, verses 4 through 7, the Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." If you want to turn with me, it's fine. You don't have to turn to the Gospel of John. But the Gospel of John in chapter number 1 and verse number 29, the Bible says, 129, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. only two little places there, some of the most probably familiar passages on the pronouncement of Jesus Christ. But when God prepared it, he also then pronounced it. My wife always gives me a hard time because I can't ever keep a secret about presents. I always like have to give it away. But Jesus Christ gave away his gift, so I guess I'm okay, right? He told everybody about it. And I kind of thought about that. I mean, Christ prepared it through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. He prepared everybody for the gift that he pronounced the gift that he already prepared for everybody. He told us it was coming. He told us about it. He told in the Old Testament, the Messiah that would come forth would be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. Anybody that's ever been saved or has trusted Christ as their personal Savior and know for a fact that they're going to go to heaven has trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Whether it be Old Testament, looking at him at the cross, or as we stand now and we look back to Christ, everybody has always been saved and been given a home in heaven through the sacrifice of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. In the Old Testament, they made sacrifices to what? To picture the coming of the Messiah, to picture the shed blood coming. They were trusting in the Christ that they had not met or seen yet, but they trusted that it was coming. Those who walked with Christ saw him, the pronouncement of it. John the Baptist, what do you come forth to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But no, I give you, he said, the man that coming after me, I'm not even worthy to loose his sandals. It's Christ. And he said when he came, he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Would it have been cool to be able to be John the Baptist, to be able to prepare for that? He even leapt in the womb when Mary came to see her cousin there. Amazing idea about John the Baptist pronouncing that. Think about all the scriptures that pronounce the arrival of Jesus. You know, we can't keep it in. We talk about our presence. We talk about, you know, a lot of times, how many of you ever give the gift away? Anybody ever done that? Meaning tell everybody what they're going to get anyways? How many of you are like me? A few of us, good. So I got a few people that are not as controlled in their mind, I guess, as I am. But I always get all excited. Or like the other day, we were shopping, and I said what my mom and dad and my kids' grandparents were going to get. I said, did you get such and such? And she was like, what are you doing? And all the kids are in the back of the car. I was like, oh, okay. And so they're all like, yay, we're getting what we're going to get. So I was like, good. Well, at least you know one of them. But I pronounced it a little bit prematurely, right? But at least they know they're getting some kind of something. That we didn't tell them exactly what kind of whatever Lego thing it was. But anyway, it was all good. So we have fun. So but when we pronounce it, we are pronouncing and we get excited about pronouncing. Now, a lot of times we shouldn't give away the actual gift, but God did. He told us exactly what it was going to be. But what do we do when we tell somebody it's going to come and we don't actually give the gift away? We say, you're going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. God did all this stuff to let us know how great and how awesome his gift was going to be and how awesome it was going to be able to participate and to be able to have and accept this gift. He prepared it. He pronounced it. And then it is the most practical gift that you could ever, ever, ever have. How many of you like to get practical gifts? How many of you like to get practical gifts? Gifts you can use. It's fun to get gifts any gift you get, you can use. But I mean, it's nice to have a practical gift that really works for something. Maybe it's a blender for a lady that likes to cook or something like that. Or maybe it's, I don't know, anything else, practical tools for men. Practical gifts that you can put to use. It's an amazing thing. And imagine this kind of gift. This is the most practical gift that's ever given. Think about this. It's free. That's pretty practical, isn't it? How many of you say would free would be pretty practical, right? What if you walked into Walmart and you say, I'm looking for such? And they say, good, those are on sale today. They're free. That'd be truly rolling back the prices, would it not? I'd be truly rolling it back. It's free. Big sign, F-R-E-E. That'd be practical as can be. What? It needs no batteries. You gotta put batteries in it, it comes on. And you know what? One other thing, you can say a lot of things to this, but you can't lose it either. Isn't that awesome? A gift you can't lose. Isn't that great? A gift that stays when you truly trust Jesus Christ, your personal and Savior. When you ask the God of heaven, and you ask Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, who will be coming again one day to take us home to be with him. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, when you truly do that, repent of your sins and trust in Christ alone by faith, not of your works, nothing that you can do to get it, but when you trust Christ truly in your heart, it stays. And it's there and it changes. You don't have to get really good to get saved. You just have to trust Christ and he helps you to be better. It's something you can't lose. You can't get away from it. It's a very, very practical gift. How much more practical can you get than that? When you think about Romans, turn to Romans real quick and you can flip through some of these verses. And I'm just about done. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. You heard some of these verses already. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. And then if you go to Romans 3:23, the one I said a minute ago, Romans 3:20, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. The definition of being a gift of God is that it's free. When you give a gift to somebody, you don't charge them for it, right? You shouldn't, at least. I mean, that'd be pretty awkward, right? Here's your gift. Hope you enjoy it. That'll be $10, right? I paid $15, so I'm giving you a $5 discount. It's all right. That'd be weird, right? A gift is something free. A gift is supposed to be given, thought through, and it's supposed to be. God did so much to prepare this. He pronounced it, and it's so practical. It's a gift that we accept that we have to do nothing for, and we cannot lose it. It will not go away. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, I'm going to flip my right thing. I already said that one, didn't I? For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God, eternal life, Jesus Christ, Lord. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners and while we were in our sin. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinning and while we were going about our merry way, Christ died. He did it even though we were not necessarily always recognizing him, or even in our lives at this time. I always think about it this way. It's amazing how God, what God did. When I think about my children, when they disobey me, our fellowship is broken. Our fellowship is sometimes separated. You have to discipline them to get them to come back and fellowship with you, but our relationship is sure. My children will always be my children, no matter what they do. My children will always be my children. My daughters will always be my daughters, and my son will always be my son. Our relationship will never change, but our fellowship may break. Even though God, he commended his love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, even though sometimes he knew we wouldn't even want to talk to him. Or sometimes we wouldn't spend the time with him that we need to spend. Or during the Christmas season, we get too busy in actually the whole Christmas season that we forget the reason for the season. And that's why as churches and as pastors, Pastor Blaylock has these things. I mean, the whole focus is to focus our heart and our life back to the reason why we're here and what we're doing. I mean, the Christmas season is why we're alive, why we're on the earth. The Christmas season should go year-round. I remember I was at church camp one time, and I was in a song-leading contest. And the song I picked was Joy to the World. That kind of looked at me kind of funny. But if you think about it, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. How is that not just during Christmas? We should sing that year round. I love the song, right? And so when I started singing it, the guys say, why'd you choose Joy to the World? It's 90 degrees in Indianapolis in Cincinnati, Ohio. We were at camp. I was like, hey, this kind of season is just wonderful. You can enjoy Christmas. Christmas is like the spirit should be all year round. Because what is it based around? The reason why we're here, why we're alive, to tell everybody about the precious gift of Jesus Christ that's been sent to us. Romans 10. Turn to Romans chapter number 10, and we'll be done. All these things you hear tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, please tonight make this the night where you trust in him and accept him as your personal Savior. I promise you, the Bible is true. The Bible is our sole authority for truth and practice in our life. And that's what we base what we believe upon. And what it says is that Christ died for you and that it is a free gift that you can choose. And all you have to do for it is to ask for that gift. To know that your soul will spend eternity one day in heaven when you die and not in hell. And the Bible does teach that there is a true heaven and that there is a true hell. It is a real thing. It is a real place. And so is heaven, very real. And God wants us to be in heaven with him forever. He created a perfect earth. We as sinners ruined it. But he created hell for the devil and his angels. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you have not repented of your sins and accepted the precious free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, please do that tonight. It's simple. Some of the most simple, understandable verses in the Bible are Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if tonight you trust in Christ your Savior, and you have to know that you're a sinner, we've all done bad things, we've all sinned against God, we've all broken God's law, we must have forgiveness of our sin. It was already paid for, we must just ask for it. Yes, folks, it is that simple. As a heart of a child, we must come to Jesus, the Bible says. If a heart of a child can understand it, it's not a complicated formula. It's simply trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father in heaven, his Son, who sacrificed for us. And that trusting Christ, we would know in Romans chapter 8, verses 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this night, this entire day, Father. Thank you for these young people, and again, for the fact that in their hearts and the parents who are very diligent to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that in their hearts these words have meaning that they sing about and these scriptures that they quote and recite. We pray, God, if there is one single person in this room who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that they will not rest tonight. They will not rest until they understand this is the day, this is the day of salvation, their opportunity. And we pray, God, that you will help us to be instruments in your hand to that end as well. Bless the fellowship now of your people in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Thank our young people. They did a wonderful job, and those who did all the hard work. Fellowship for a while. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.